This show is sponsored by Bloomerang, a solution that helps nonprofits like Shower Up, which is a nonprofit providing mobile showers and personal care for those experiencing homelessness, to efficiently manage their volunteers and donors in one place. And thanks to Bloomerang, Shower Up increased their volunteer signups by 60% and first-time donors by making it easy to give right on their site. Shower Up's executive director, Paul Schmidt, said, "Bloomerang is an ideal marriage of volunteer and donor management. The deeper we get into it, the more we love it. And if you want to see how Shower Up easily manages their volunteers and donors with Bloomerang, just go to jcsocialmarketing.com/Bloomerang. That's jcsocialmarketing.com/Bloomerang. Or visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell, and I'm going to sit down with nonprofit industry experts, fundraisers, marketers, and everyone in between to get real and discuss what it takes to build that movement that you've been dreaming of. I created the Nonprofit Nation podcast to share practical wisdom and strategies to help you confidently find your voice, definitively grow your audience, and effectively build your movement. If you're a nonprofit newbie or an experienced professional who's looking to get more visibility, reach more people, and create even more impact, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. This is the Nonprofit Nation podcast. I'm your host, Julia Campbell. Our topic today, one that is near and dear to my heart, how to create a sound social media strategy. With attention spans and engagement rates plummeting and new platforms popping up seemingly every day, how can nonprofits keep up? Well, my guest today is the founder of Sunflower Communications, Nina Stair Nathan. And today we're going to unravel the essential components of crafting an effective social media strategy, understanding your audience, and tips and insights, you know, to elevate your online presence. Now, Nina is from Toronto. She splits her time between there and Antigua, Guatemala. She has experience working in marketing, communications, fundraising, and teaching internationally in Canada, South Korea, and Guatemala. And after working in the social impact sector for a few years, she realized there was a need for nonprofits and social enterprises to fundraise and communicate in a modern and engaging way. So she started Sunflower with the hopes of helping clients tell their story, amplify their impact, and reach their goals. Her mother tongue is English, and she has working proficiency skills in Spanish. And I was asking her, she does have staff members that are fluent Spanish speakers. So for those of you out there that have been asking me for resources and consulting in Spanish, you definitely want to check out Nina and all the work they do at Sunflower. So welcome, Nina. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So you said you started on the third sector. I'm sure we have a very similar path because I started out and then I definitely saw the gap in digital skills and marketing skills. But how did you get into nonprofit work?
Yeah, so I have a background in marketing and communications. So I was working kind of corporate in Toronto. Then I decided that I wanted to go teach English abroad. And so I went to South Korea and I was teaching English there. And through that work and through, you know, my travels in Asia, I was introduced to the nonprofit world. I did some volunteering in different places. And then I decided that I wanted to actually, you know, study something. So I found this program in Toronto at Humber College called International Development. So I did that as a postgraduate degree. And then through that, kind of a funny trajectory, through that, then I got the job working for a nonprofit in Guatemala. And then I decided eventually after that to start Sunflower. So it's kind of a train of events.
I love that because I did have a similar path. I did the Peace Corps, the U.S. Peace Corps, and that is a program that has since been gutted, like post-COVID. But it was a program where Americans would go abroad for 2 years, 2.5 years. We did like a half year of training and either speak English, or I worked in a health clinic. I actually did communications almost. I did like marketing campaigns for public health initiatives that were going on in the country. But I met a lot of NGOs and nonprofits while I was there. And yeah, I agree. That really helped me kind of solidify like the path that I wanted to take. So your specialties are very similar. They're storytelling and social media, just like me. Those are my passions. So how did you come to focus on these strategies when, you know, I know so many people are focused on major gifts or capital campaigns or grant writing or fundraising, and all of those are very valuable tools. And of course, it all leads to fundraising. But how did you come to focus on teaching these strategies to nonprofits and social good organizations?
Yeah, well, I think because I do have that background in marketing and communication before I even got into the nonprofit world, it was kind of just tying my experiences together in first marketing communications and then my experience with nonprofits and studying international development, bringing them together to then eventually create Sunflower. And I think that's also where I saw the biggest gap as well. I think there's so many fundraising professionals, which again is very valuable and needed. But my expertise, since it lied more with marketing and communications, it just made sense to go that way because there is that gap, I think. So I wanted to help fill that gap.
I think that's wonderful. I think that so many organizations are just desperately seeking that clarity, and there's so much confusion around what to do and how to do it. And there's so many blogs and there's so many YouTube videos, and there's just so much hype around these tools now, especially with the proliferation of AI and ChatGPT and generative AI, and people are just really looking for answers. And that's sort of how I've seen my consultancy. And from the work that I've seen that you've done, I think it's very similar. So, you know, we're recording this. It's 2024. It's an election year. There are currently two wars happening, I believe, right now. And there's so much noise and people are fatigued. People are overwhelmed. People are very busy. I mean, I think this is the case all the time. What's important for nonprofits to know about social media right now?
I mean, there's two things that come to mind. The first one is that it is quite difficult to start from zero. Just go on and start, an Instagram account with zero followers and build it up to a huge following that is, you know, very engaged with you. That is quite difficult now, but it is still possible. And I think it's important for people or nonprofits to take a holistic approach. Really think about, okay, if you're on social media and you want to create a community, what else can you do? How can you drive people there? And so thinking about it of not just on social media, okay, I'm going to spend time answering messages and commenting on people's posts. And those are still good actions to do. But what are you doing outside of that? Does your website link to your social media? When you're out meeting people in person, are you saying that you have a social media presence? And are you inviting people into your community? So just thinking of kind of like all of these different ways, like when you're sending donors a report, you know, in your email signature or at the end of the report, does it say, follow us on social media? Because you want to get the people who are already supporting you to be supporting you online too. And then that way you can build your presence from there.
I completely agree with the holistic approach and how you can't see social media just in this one silo. It really has to be operating with your email newsletters, with your website, with your events, with your networking, with any communication that you have with people should be leading people there or encouraging people to follow you. So where would you, I mean, if people are starting from zero, this is a question I get all the time. I would love to know what you think because I have a hard time answering it. Yeah. If you are starting from zero, what would you recommend doing?
I mean, it always kind of starts with, we tell this to our clients because we have worked with clients who have started from at least a couple hundred followers or even less. We tell our clients it really does start with friends and family. So go to the people who you already know. That's actually how I started Sunflower, going to the people that I already know and people who are already my cheerleaders and my friends and family. And then they can help share my, like, hey, best friend, can you share my post on your LinkedIn? And then that means that her network will see it. And you never know who eventually is going to be connected. And then a potential client, or if you're a nonprofit, a donor, or just supporters will kind of come more into your circle. And so, yeah, really starting with those people that you already are connected to and that you already know. And, you know, everybody, especially on a platform like LinkedIn, you've had past jobs. You're probably connected with people from past jobs. You've maybe gone to conferences and events. So just not being afraid to share what you're doing, especially on a platform like LinkedIn, will really get those people, get their attention and get them in.
Do you recommend using ads?
Yeah. So at Sunflower, we actually don't have a lot of experience with ads. Most of our approach is organic, but I do recommend it. Like, we boost some posts and we see success with that, but definitely setting up a whole strategy for ads can be really successful as well. If you have the budget for it, then I think that's a really good way, a good approach, as well as the organic.
I love that I always recommend ads, but I don't do ads myself. Yeah. It's a science. It's like Google Ad Grants. I mean, it is an entire science that you need to know. And the floor is shifting underneath you constantly. So exactly. I always recommend getting expert help in that.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. So another question always, and I know it's really hard to answer because there's no one size fits all, but which channels should we focus on?
It is a tricky question because you're right. It's hard to say.
Because if I asked you that for me, you could probably tell me because you know a little bit about me, my business, and my background. But for all nonprofits, like I think they all want one answer, but I think the answer is complicated. But I know you have some ideas.
Yeah, so it definitely is complicated. But so we focus at Sunflower, we focus on three main platforms. That's Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We find that generally those are the three platforms that our clients are either already on, or they agree with that their target audience are on those platforms. So LinkedIn is, of course, a more professional platform. And so, yeah, I definitely recommend that for most nonprofits, because that's where you'll find foundations, donors, corporate partners, all of these types of things. Facebook is great because then you can share your posts in groups. And so, for example, I'm part of a nonprofit community in Guatemala, and there's a lot of different groups on Facebook where I can share a post. Say we have a post from Sunflower, I can share it in a nonprofit Facebook group, and all of the nonprofits in Guatemala will see it through there. So that's really great. I really like that feature of groups. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram is where it's a little bit more. It depends on the type of nonprofit you are and where your community is, where your target audience is. Mm-hmm. For example, the nonprofit community in Guatemala, a lot of nonprofits are on Instagram. And so people are sharing a lot of information on there, events, you know, connecting with each other. And so if you're a nonprofit in Guatemala, just continue to use that example. It would make sense for you to have an Instagram account. But maybe if you're a nonprofit somewhere else and nobody else in your community is on Instagram, then maybe perhaps it doesn't make sense. So that one's a little bit trickier. But I would say definitely Facebook and LinkedIn are typically really good platforms to be on. And then we have some clients who are also on Twitter or X. And so, yeah, kind of just depends from there.
With LinkedIn, do you usually recommend that an organization like uses their personal profiles as well as a company page, or which should they focus on?
So where I have seen the most success is setting up the company page, you know, as a business profile. And then if the staff, or especially, you know, the founder or the ED is comfortable sharing the posts from the business page onto their profile, then I find that that's the most successful, because it is quite hard to get people to follow your page unless you're already quite established. But if you, as an individual, like, for example, me as the founder of Sunflower, I'm already connected to people from my past experiences, my past jobs. And so then when I share a Sunflower post on my page, then my whole audience will see it. And then I'm kind of directing them to Sunflower. So that's how I found that LinkedIn is really, really useful.
What do you think is working on Facebook right now?
What I really like about Facebook is there again, it is hard to get people to follow your page. But as I mentioned before, what I really like about Facebook is the groups. And actually, in my personal use, that's how I use Facebook. I don't really post anything. I'm on Facebook mostly for the groups. So I can see events. I can see things happening. I can see what people are talking about. I can share information in these groups. And so there's like little little mini communities within Facebook that you can access. And I think that's kind of the main feature of Facebook that I think has kind of kept me and clients on that platform.
So I know a lot of the nonprofits out there are listening and they're saying, okay, we have two big problems, growing our followings and growing engagement. So let's tackle the first problem. What are some ways that nonprofits can grow their following and their fan base on these platforms?
I would say, so it really goes back to like going back to basics, because there's so many different strategies and kind of different approaches that you can take, and making sure that your content is strong and making sure that you're spending a bit of time to engage with your audience and sharing your posts in groups and all of these things. And those are all really, really valuable and good parts. But I would say going back to really understanding why are you doing this in the first place? So of course you want to grow your community, but that's not the goal of what you're doing, right? The goal of what you're doing is to achieve your mission. What are you actually doing in the organization? And so when, for example, when we start working with a client, a new client, we take them through our strategy document. And the first questions of our strategy document are, what is your mission? What are your values? What's your purpose? What are you trying to achieve? And what are your goals outside of your communication and social media goals? But what are your goals as an organization? And so then once we have those set and understood and everybody's on the same page, then we can kind of go more into, okay, what are the specific social media or communications goals? And then from there, okay, what are the tactics are that we're going to take to achieve these goals? So kind of just really going back to what is your why? What's the purpose of all of this in the first place? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a bit nicer too, because I think people can get very stressed out about how many followers they have, how many likes they're getting on their posts. But if you really go back to why you're doing this, that's the driver.
Exactly. The sort of your purpose and your audience. What about grants for driving traffic?
Yeah, LinkedIn actually has a lot of resources for nonprofits. There's a whole nonprofit hub on LinkedIn.
There's a good hub there. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good resource. They share a lot of, they have like free webinars. They also have, free LinkedIn ads. You can apply as a nonprofit and get access to that. And like you said, Google as well. So I highly recommend using those. Some of our clients use those, and it's great because then you get ads for free.
Yeah. Right. And get website traffic and get traffic to your social media sites for free, which is so key, because people always ask me like, how do we grow, like the growing the following fan base question. And I always say, like, you start with friends and family, start with people you know, start with your network, create content for them. But then they're like, okay, but how do we reach like brand new people and reach out? And in that case, I usually recommend ads, because how else, you know, are you going to reach brand new people unless your audience is posting, or unless you're joining groups that have people that are not necessarily in your network? So, I think that's like, really challenging. Do you have any recommendations for like reaching brand new people?
Well, I agree with you that ads is definitely a good way to do that. I also think, as you also just mentioned, user generated content. So like, if you have some people who are absolute champions of your organization and they're sharing on their behalf and they're kind of reaching new audiences, or you're reaching new audiences through them, that's a really good way. I mean, we've also seen in person is also such a good way. So if you're attending a conference or, you know, events or anything like that. And so just making sure that when you're in person in those events, you are, if you're handing out your business card or something, that it directs people to your social media as well. And so that's just how you can get more and more people in. But of course, those are more potentially an event is more expensive because you have to pay for the ticket and you have to maybe travel to get there. And so otherwise, I agree with you that ads is probably the best way to do it in the meantime, in between events and things.
And you just have to be consistent and you just have to be strategic and just keep doing it. There's no like silver bullet where you're going to get 100,000 fans unless you buy them, which I don't even think is a thing, and you don't want to do that anymore. People don't do that anymore. Another key prong of the social media, I guess, puzzle is how to get engagement. Now, this is probably my number one question, actually, more than fans and followers, is we're posting, no one's engaging. We're posting to crickets. We're posting to, you know, absolute silence. So what are your tips for nonprofits getting more engagement on their posts?
Yeah, I would say definitely making sure that you have a call to action. So a lot of the time people are posting just for the sake of posting, and there's no strategy behind it, or there's no action that you're asking your audience to take. So if you're just posting, okay, here's a picture of something that happened, for example, okay, cool. Why should people engage with that? They see it, but then they keep scrolling. Mm-hmm. But if you actually have something that's more attention grabbing, first of all, people will stop and read. And then what do you want them to do? Leave a comment, click on the link. What do you want them to do? And so kind of directing them, because if you put yourself in their shoes, well, they're scrolling through so much stuff, so much information constantly. And so how are you going to kind of stand out and also kind of direct their attention? What do you want them to do next? So even if it's just the call to action could be on some posts, more fun. Leave a sunshine emoji below.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
If you agree with this, leave a yes. Or
if you love this dog, put a heart emoji. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Or even if you have an event and you want people to click on the link. Of course, on Facebook and LinkedIn, you can include the link in the actual post, but on Instagram, you can't. So a way to get engagement would be, if you're interested and you want the link, comment link below and we'll send you the link. And so then people start commenting link, and that's actually engagement on your profile. And then you get to send them a direct message with the link. And then that opens a direct message as well. And then they're probably going to click on your link, and then you get that website traffic. So there's different ways to kind of get people to do kind of what you want them to do.
I love that idea. And I know there's automated software that you can use if people write a certain word in the comments. Right. Because I've seen that on Facebook where someone will say, oh, I've just released a new ebook. If you want to get it, write ebook below. And then you write ebook, and then you automatically get a DM, which I think is really cool because, like you said, it increases the engagement because people are commenting, but then also you're making that one-on-one connection almost. They feel special because they get that message from you. What types of content work best? Like, what are we seeing? And I know every platform's different. So maybe you just want to talk about, you know, Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. I mean, feel free to talk about whatever you want, but are we seeing videos, photos, captions, long captions, hashtags? What really is working?
Yeah. So definitely images, of course. People, if it's just text, for example, on Facebook or LinkedIn, if it's just text, that's not very...
Or a flyer. I can't stand it. Right. I see a flyer. I'm like, I can't read this. I'm pinching. And
LinkedIn actually links. So if you're linking to an article or linking to something on the website, because you get the little preview there. So if you're linking to your own website, making sure that that link preview is optimized. Long form text actually does perform better on LinkedIn more than Facebook and Instagram. But Instagram, definitely video. So reels, carousels, more, of course, just more visuals and keeping the post to be short and concise. Because again, it's the whole attention thing. People are just scrolling through so much. And so you want it to be bite-sized.
Absolutely. And I'm seeing, definitely video. I know a lot of nonprofits are uncomfortable with video, but it doesn't even have to be you. It can just be a shot of your office or the field or the place where you work. Or, you know, I've worked with an organization in Salem. They have a beautiful property. It's a foster care agency, and they just have a beautiful property. And often they're just taking photos of the fall and like what the snow looks like. And like, it doesn't have to be necessarily 100% related to your mission. It just has to be keeping you top of mind and making sure that people understand you're there and what you're about and, you know, that you're still there.
Yeah. And with video too, you can play around with it. So maybe if you do have, you're taking a video of the fall foliage and it's your office environment and you're kind of just sharing that, you can also put text over it.
Yes.
Put a stat, put a quote, put a just a punchy sentence, you know, something over that image so that it's not just that. You are still providing other information over mm-hmm. top of the video. So there's mm-hmm. different things you can play with as well.
No, I know. And I struggle with that too. I think I don't have to always be the focal point of the video. Like there can be other focal points because sometimes yeah. you just don't want to be on camera.
No, totally.
Yeah. So I know. So I do struggle with that too. But then I think, yeah, there's so many ways you can do text overlay and mm-hmm. music and sound and all of these really creative things you can do. Yeah. So let's talk trends now. So what trends are you seeing in the social media space? And what do they mean for nonprofits and, you know, really for anyone in marketing?
I would say, well, of course, AI is a huge trend right now. Everybody is having AI integrations. I'm not sure how much that actually applies to what nonprofits are doing in their work. It's definitely a tool that you can utilize, which will help with caption generation and all these things. So I would say definitely utilize AI to help with all of the things that you're trying to do, all this content creation. It's a really good tool. I would say also being aware that, and this has been a trend for a while now, but I think it's still really important and maybe something that nonprofits don't think about, is that more and more people are using social media as their search engine.
Not just connecting for like with grandma.
Right.
Or with your friends.
Exactly. Yeah. So people are going to, let's say, pulling up their Instagram account and they type in like their local nonprofit, or they do it for everything, right? Like I do it a lot. If there's a new restaurant that opens up in town and I want to
look at the LinkedIn. I do too.
Yeah. And so, and I want to see that they have a presence, or that I want to see a little bit more about them on a social profile or platform before I actually go and visit them. And so I think it's the same for nonprofits. Like if somebody searches you and they want to learn more about your mission, or they're considering donating, but then they land on your profile and there's nothing, or it's outdated, or it just looks unprofessional, that would maybe deter people from donating. And so mm-hmm. I think it's thinking of, we tell our clients this, thinking of your social media presence also as kind of your business card. Not just a place to build a community. It is definitely that, but it's also a first impression. Yep. And so that's why it's also important to keep it updated and professional and have a strategy behind it.
Absolutely. I agree with that. The social media as search engines. And I did mean to say Instagram. I don't look up restaurants on LinkedIn. I should maybe. But when I'm in a new city too, I always look at the hashtag. Like I remember when I went on vacation with my family to Montreal, I was looking at the hashtag and whatever the hashtags were on Instagram around Montreal. Like there's Montreal family, there's Montreal at night, and trying to find, you know, you find a wealth of information yeah. searching on it that way. I think that's absolutely, absolutely right. So let's talk about small nonprofits. Who really are the one person shop? I mean, this is something that comes up a lot. Where can we fit all of this into our strategy? Like, where should small nonprofits start first?
It's really important because, yeah, like you said, there's so many different strategies and things that you can do, and it can be quite overwhelming. And so mm-hmm. I think, as I mentioned before, starting with your why, being very clear on that, understanding your organization goals, and then understanding what your communications goals are. Mm-hmm. Then the next step, I would say, would be being very honest about the capacity that your team actually has. Mm-hmm. So don't set a plan or a calendar or a strategy where you need to be posting every single day if you only have 4 people on your team and you're already right. stretched thin, because yeah. that's a lot of content creation. So being very honest about what you can actually achieve in your team, maybe you can only post twice a week, but if you're actually posting twice a week, you're being consistent and you're able to build that trust with your audience. Whereas if you set a plan, we're going to post every single day, and then you don't accomplish it, and then you don't end up posting for months, that's worse. So setting a plan that's actually feasible and achievable will mm-hmm. set you up for success.
I totally agree with that. I think most small nonprofits bite off more than they can chew in the beginning. Yeah. and say they're going to post every day, and then it gets overwhelming and then they just give up. So I agree with that advice. Don't burn yourself out too quickly. Try to do too much, and then, you know, see where it fits with your overall social media strategy. Well, I know you have a lot of resources for organizations for social good causes for nonprofits online. Tell us where we can kind of find you, connect with you, and where you spend time on social media.
So, of course, we have a website, and on there we have some, we have a lot of, we always share free resources. Like right now, I know it's already February, but we have created a free resource for nonprofits. It's monthly content themes. And so you're able to download that, and it kind of just gives you ideas for different themes throughout the year. So that can be found on our website, which is sunflower-communications.com. We also are on the three platforms that I mentioned before. So Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So it's just at Sunflower Communications. And I would say LinkedIn and Instagram are definitely where we hang out a little bit more. Yeah, so you can find us on those platforms.
Why Sunflower Communications?
That's a good question. So I actually started this during the pandemic. It was, of course, dark times. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking of what to name it, there was a bouquet of sunflowers sitting on my table. And it seemed like just such a positive flower, just a positive image in a time of darkness. And I've always loved sunflowers. I think they're just beautiful. And I also thought it kind of just fit in with this theme of social good, social impact. I think the sunflower kind of encapsulates that in a way. And so I just looked at it and I was like, immediately, Sunflower Communications.
And it's I love that. Sunflower is my favorite. And I love that story. See, that story is so great. Thanks so much, Nina, for being on the podcast, for sharing your wealth of wisdom. I know people are going to want to connect with you and reach out. So just big thanks for being on Nonprofit Nation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, hey there. I wanted to say thank you for tuning into my show and for listening all the way to the end. If you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. I would love if you left me a rating or a review, because this tells other people that my podcast is worth listening to. And then me and my guests can reach even more earbuds and create even more impact. So that's pretty much it. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, you can find me on Instagram at JuliaCampbell77. Keep changing the world, you nonprofit unicorn.